You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And hey, we're welcoming our friends and our family. And if you are a first-time listener to our show, we're happy to have you. We are a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone, as well as some great innovative guests every week. And see what's going on around the USA with our events calendar.
So this week, our guest is Sherry Watson, and she is a nonprofit expert. She knows everything that you need to know about how to run a great nonprofit, get involved in getting grants. This is a perfect show for a lot of our past guests and a lot of our listeners who listen to our show. So I really want you to stay tuned and check it out.
So last week, Mr. Tony St. Tone, you got to do something really cool, and I was a bit jealous that I did not get to join you.
Yeah, I got offered a job at Royal Gardens, which is a nursing home, and they asked me to come out there and play for an hour for all the senior citizens. And it was it's something I had done in the past, but it's really, really amazing to see what the power of music can do to people. Especially this one gentleman, he was probably the youngest one there. He might have been in his 40s. I wasn't sure if he was a special needs person or not, but he was in a wheelchair. And as soon as I started playing, he wheeled directly in front of me. And the odd thing about it is that while I was playing, he kept sobbing. And I asked if he was okay, and I couldn't really understand what was going on. But after the event, I spoke to the head nurse, and she said, "Oh my God, he absolutely loved you." And I said, "Really?" I says, it was really odd because I wasn't getting that response in my mind.
Yeah.
But what she said is she had tried to get him to any kind of event. And she goes, as soon as you walked in, he was drawn to you. And after I was done and after I spoke to her, I started packing up all my stuff. So I had all my stuff packed up and he mumbled to me. And I didn't understand what he was saying. And what he asked for was one more song.
How cool.
So I took my guitar out again and I played him one more song. But it was a very powerful moment. The entire day was a great experience because you really, really get to see how music moves people. And it transcends so many different things.
Yeah, and we've had that experience before. We had gone to a particular story I'm thinking of. We had gone to a nursing home in Inglewood, Florida. And there was a guy that was in a wheelchair that could not look or move.
It was catatonic. Yeah.
Anything. He was, yep. Mm-hmm. But he was moving his big toe.
Yes.
And the nurses noticed that he was tapping his big toe and they were all crying their eyes out. And you and I were like, "What's going on, people?"
Yeah.
But they had never seen him move anything before.
Yeah.
And they were blown away that the music had driven him to be able to move his toe, which was a huge thing for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, if you've got a relative that's in a hospital or in a nursing home or, you know, in a situation, maybe a cancer care, bring music in with you. Bring it in on your iPhone. Go to sainttone.com and load down some positive music onto your phone and bring it with you. It's free on that site. So, you know, the power of music heals. Definitely, definitely, definitely think about that when you're in a situation with a loved one that's not feeling well. So I want to also let you guys know we have two really cool events happening in California in the next 30 days, and you are welcome to join us. We are doing fundraisers for our friend Mike Precise in the effort to raise $10,000 to get him surgery to regain his vision to 20/20. He is now legally blind. The first event is going to be at the home of Mooney Ironi. It's going to be a dinner event, and it's very limited seating, and it's an amazing, amazing, beautiful house. So if you are in the Glendora, California area, you definitely want to come and hang out. We're going to do an Energize Your Vibes show, Tony and I as a duo. And then on the 19th of September, we're going to be doing a fundraiser for Mike again. It's going at the Mobile Zine Film Studio, and that's in Fountain Valley, California. And that's going to be a really cool celebrity-styled event, red carpet, big show. The speaker today, Sherry Watson, is going to be one of our featured speakers
Absolutely.
That day at the event. And if you like her today, you will love her in person. She's a dynamic speaker and has a lot of really great information to pass along that helps both profit and nonprofit companies really raise your bottom line.
And you can get your tickets and learn a lot more about both events at humanitarianradio.com.
We look forward to seeing you there.
Well, when you hear that sound, you know it is time for our quote of the week.
Well, our quote of the day is something that I need to listen to.
That's great. Maybe we'll play this over and over again for you.
Yes, in the office for about 55 times. You don't always need a plan. Sometimes you just need to breathe, trust, let go, and see what happens. I am the ultimate planner.
Let's read that again for our listening audience.
I need to know what time we're leaving, how long it's going to take to get there, what time we're going to roll in, that we're going to be on time. I'm all about the planning. So for me, this is like a... Okay, so I'm going to read it again. You don't always need to plan. Sometimes you just need to breathe, trust, let go, and see what happens.
That's hard for some people.
It's hard for me, I can tell you that. Yeah. I mean, I do trust, I do let go, I do see what happens, but I also plan.
Well, and it's not that planning is a bad thing. I think what happens is most people spend their life planning as life goes by. It's like you need to just sort of react and just sort of live it sometimes.
Yeah, you got to leave that space available for
the unexpected.
The unexpected and what happens naturally.
Spontaneity.
Yeah, totally agree. I like that saying. I felt it was appropriate both for myself and a lot of people I know. So there you go.
USALuxuryDirect.com. 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 Top name brands from around the world. Sold at discounted prices. Hundreds of items to choose from. Put Humanitarian Radio in the coupon zone for a 10% discount at USALuxuryDirect.com.
So we want to thank our sponsor, USA Luxury Direct. As you know, this show is run strictly on donations, and we appreciate them supporting our cause and helping us shout out some good news around the world. If you have a chance, go check out USALuxuryDirect.com and put in the code word Humanitarian Radio, and they'll give you an extra discount. Do you have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? Call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. With 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538.
So it's time for some good news from around the world.
This is a great summertime story. Ready for this one? In Massachusetts, a city bus driver with a bus full of people made an unexpected stop on his way to the bus stop. He pulled off to the side of the road because he saw a lemonade stand, and he treated everybody on the bus to a glass of lemonade.
Wow, how cool is that?
Isn't that a neat story? He said, if anyone's in a hurry or needs to make a connection, I won't stop, but I'd like to treat all of you to a glass of lemonade. And they all agreed that he was welcome to stop. They all filed out. These three little girls are selling lemonade on a little homemade stand on the sidewalk. And they got treated to 54 people on the bus.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool? What a great thing for this dude to do. You know, that's really a thoughtful little gesture that probably, you know, probably cost him $20 to do. But he probably made the day of every single person on that bus. Just an unexpected, cool little treat.
Oh, I'm sure. And those little kids were probably thrilled. They're like, we're going to go to every bus stop now. We're setting up locations.
Actually, they weren't at a bus stop. He stopped on the side of the road.
Oh, so he saw them,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he stopped well before the bus stop.
They can expand and open up a second and third stand.
The bus driver said, passengers could have turned sour. Cute.
No pun intended.
When he stopped mid-route, but he actually made their day a whole lot sweeter. Well done, sir.
Very
hope you,
cool.
I hope that's infectious and someone else thinks of something equally as cool.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmation wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone.
Glass of stereo.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
Mama said we can always work it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Here are some events that may be happening in your area. Check out events calendar on humanitarianradio.com. August 16th to the 23rd, Woodstock Fruit Festival in Adirondacks, New York. On August 22nd, there's a few things going on. We have Ball for a Cause event for the Boys and Girls Club. That's in Lake Forest, California.
And we will be performing at that.
And then we also, on the same day, Energize Your Vibes House Concert Fundraiser in Glendora, California.
And we'll be performing for that also.
On August 28th to September 4th, The Spirit of Self-Inquiry. This is in Magnesia, Greece. And this is an event that they have every year, and it's quite the big to-do and how to find the who you are.
I'd like to be performing for that.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So those are our August events. If you're looking for something more and to plan in your future, we have events on our events page on humanitarianradio.com all the way through to February 2016.
Yeah, and if you have an event that you'd like to post, just give us a call or send us an email, and we would love to add it to our list.
So we are back, and we are so delighted to have with us today an amazing human being, Sherry Watson. She is the queen bee of the power of purpose. Welcome, Sherry. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I'm so excited and grateful to be with you guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's a thrill to have you. You are just an amazing person in the life that you've gone through, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. I want to explain to people what the power of purpose is, so why don't we start with that?
Perfect. The power of purpose has a bold mission. We are going to launch and empower at least 10,000 nonprofits in the next 3 years for the better good of this world and to bring this country back. So with us and the power of purpose, we're mentoring entrepreneurs, socially conscious entrepreneurs, business leaders, moms and dads, grandma and grandpas that are wanting to leave a legacy. We're mentoring them on how to set up a nonprofit, how to bring the funding in so that you can live your passion and you can live your purpose. What I learned, what we'll talk about in a little while, I learned at an early age, was so blessed to live my passion
and
to what my purpose was. And I developed that passion then doing all the things that helped me fulfill my purpose. And that's what we're doing with others now, is taking them on that same journey.
You know, and I think it's really important in two stages here, two things I want to say about that. First of all, most people don't know how to get going in their 501c3 or whatever it is that they're trying to accomplish to help other people. So the fact that you are giving them a place to go to in order to get something started, and you're showing them basically the fast track on, instead of stumbling and trying to figure this out on your own, we already have this figured out. Come to us and we'll get you rolling right away. That is beautiful in itself. But also helping people to hone in on what their purpose is. This is a way to do that, by trying to walk through this trail to figure out how to get a nonprofit started, it does help you fine tune where it is you want to go, you know, what it is you want to do.
My favorite part of all of this is working with folks on the purpose, you know, getting them, you know, saying, well, I always wanted to do this, but, you know, I got to make a bunch of money before.
Right.
And to be able to lead them and guide them, there's more funding, more money available in your nonprofit corporation than any other corporation. It's not eligible for other corporations. So I love being able to share that you can take your purpose, you can take what you've been wanting to do, and you can wrap the financials around it to take care of you and your family while you're making the impact out there.
You know, something that we had talked about before we went on the air was how you need to take care of yourself first before you can take care of others. And most people that start a nonprofit are usually givers, and they have a hard time receiving. And that's where a lot of them get stuck. They feel like, well, this money that I'm bringing in, I have to continually use for the purpose of funding this nonprofit. But what they fail to understand is I might need to drive from point A to point B, and I need to get gas, and I need to take so-and-so out to dinner to help them maybe make a donation. And those are types of expenses that actually the person who starts a nonprofit usually takes on upon themselves out of their personal checking account. And I think what you're trying to teach is the money that's coming in is to serve you to help serve others. Because if you're starving, you can't feed starving kids in Africa. You know, so it's this simple, basic understanding of you need to be able to eat to have the energy to help others eat also.
That's so great you bring that up now, because one of the things we teach very strongly in the beginning is this is not a bake sale charity. This is a very profitable nonprofit corporation that we're setting up. So when you look at this country, the hospitals, universities, Sesame Street, Kansas City Royals, NCAA, those are all nonprofit corporations, but they're led like businesses. And so what we do with the social conscious entrepreneurs and all of your folks that are listening that are part of this right now is let's take that heart of gold and that purpose, and then let's also include the business hat that comes in and structures it as a business. And I have always made more money in my nonprofit corporation than my for-profit. I've had investment portfolios. What that allows you to do is serve the needs of the people you're serving and take care of your team. When you've got a dedicated team around you that are helping build the services, the programs for the kids, for the veterans, renewable energy, housing, whatever your passion is, then you want to give them the incentive. You want to help them be able to take care of their family. So structuring it as a business, all of my folks get paid as well as the county employees. They had full health care. They had IRAs. We had company vehicles because we're a corporation. And that allowed us to go from building peer support programs for people with disabilities to life skills training to transportation systems, becoming our own bank that we could give out loans with better longer amortizations, buy down interest. By you structuring it as a business, you're allowed to bring in that income that allows you to grow and serve the needs even more. And that's what I want, the message, because I know you guys have the most amazing listeners. I've listened to a lot of your shows. I've seen what's happening, and they're out there doing things. If we can help them bring more funding in, that allows them to grow even more. So we have several different funding strategies that I've learned in my 35 years. I grew my career. I grew my whole life up in the nonprofit corporation. So very, very excited to share those bits of wisdom and learning along the way where we've been able to build the corporations.
You know, if for me, it's such an eye-opening experience to realize that nonprofits can be financially successful, because the thought pattern out in the world today is that if you're starting a nonprofit, you might as well plan on starving. Because
right, and that's a general consensus, is yeah. that you shouldn't be making money, because if you are, then you're evil. And it's like, no, I'm trying to help others, but I need to help myself before I can help others.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so interesting with that, the mindset, you know, and I think because of my journey, because 35 years ago, my life taking a different turn and learning about the nonprofit world and building a coalition and building a movement, starting with one nonprofit corporation and ending up with over 800 nonprofit corporations that they're bringing $40 million a year. We created a career path for people with disabilities, and we created an economic solution to this country, redirecting funds from nursing homes, from institutions, redirecting those funds so we serve four times more people, and we moved those resources into the community and gave people the opportunity to be part of the American dream, to be taxpayers again, we created jobs. That's what the nonprofit sector, people don't know how powerful it is when you look at $450 billion came in last year through the nonprofit, and one out of 13 people in this country that are employed are in the nonprofit sector. The nonprofit sector plays a huge role in the economic impact in this country. And if you lead your nonprofit with that business mindset, there are no limits.
Yeah,
if you lead your nonprofit with a bake sale charity mindset and you've got a struggle, you're going to stay in that little scarcity mentality instead of abundance mentality. And we're going to change those systems that are broken. And we're going to put some business solutions forward. And we're going to take our money, tax dollars, grant money is our money. That's our money to take and bring that solution to make sense of a system that's not making sense.
Well,
when
and you
look
know,
at the VA.
No, you're fine. I just wanted to say that you were saying you can live the American dream, but it really goes way beyond that, because most nonprofits will not only help people in America, but in other countries. So you're really having the ability to make global change as a result of starting in our home country and taking care of our homeland.
Global change that we're a part of. We have mentoring students that are working all over the world. We have a beautiful project in Africa that built over 700 homes for widows and orphans. We have a great project in Guatemala that's building bottle schools. They've built over 15 bottle schools now using common sense, bringing communities together. So you can take what we're teaching wherever your passion, wherever you're led, that works around the world. And
yeah.
We know strengthening the world helps all of us.
Exactly. I think that that the ability to make such huge change by even helping one person at a time is a phenomenal business model, if you will, because most people think, well, if I can't help 1,000 people, then nobody's going to appreciate what I'm doing. But what you and I have learned over the years is that starting one by one and changing people's mindsets just creates a domino effect. So by helping one company be developed, helping one group start as a nonprofit, they lead by example. And then another group sees what they're doing and says, oh, yeah, we can do that, too. You know, and that domino effect just creates world change in the long run.
And that's how we literally change the world. in the disability movement. That's exactly how we did it.
So do you mind sharing your story of what changed in your life that got you on a new track and new trail?
I would love to share my story because that's why I'm where I am right now.
Yeah, and I'd love listeners to actually hear how that all happened and how the shift came about for you.
Love it. Well, it was, gosh, you guys, I can't believe time. It was 30-some years ago now that we were living the all-American dream. My husband, Tracy, and I had been married about 3 years. We had two little boys. Derek was almost two, and Aaron was about 8 months. And I was out riding my ATV three-wheeler. They'd just come to the United States. And so he was at home with kids taking a nap, and I was riding down by the river where I always ride. And went up into a spare lot. They hadn't built a house on yet. And I just remember going to that spare lot and the wheels turned real hard. And I remember flying through the air and it was dark. And I'm thinking, why didn't you hang on, Tyler? And my husband gets a knock on the door and they say, call an ambulance. Sherry's bleeding from the head. It has found me. And so he's thinking stitches and he comes onto the scene of the accident. And he said the last 20 feet, he really just crawled. He said he saw me laying in a pool of blood, and my skin was like an ashen color. I wasn't breathing. And I was bleeding from my ears, nose, and mouth. And you think about the trauma of seeing your loved one like that.
Yeah.
So as you lay there beside me, and just prayed and just asked to please keep me here, and we would do everything we're destined to do. And the paramedics came to the scene and tried getting the pulse and tried things and finally said we might have a possible DOA. And he's thinking dead on arrival. And again, his strength, just not giving up. And so they took me in the ambulance and did the defibrillators, my heart had quit, and got me into the emergency room. But then my family had come, his family had come, and they called the chaplain in. And the chaplain told them that I probably wouldn't make it. And as they all sat there and remained in their strength, they remained prayerful. They remained giving me that energy. And then a few hours later, the neurosurgeons came out because they couldn't get me stabilized. They kept me in the emergency room. And they said, well, if she's a fighter, she has a 50-50 chance. And my family said, then get a room ready.
So they already knew.
It was awesome because they always kept that strength and that energy. And so I went through the journey of, back then, we called it head injury. We didn't even have a definition. And I was one of the first that severe they really saved. And the new technology was starting to save us. So as I lay in a coma, I was trapped in a body that couldn't respond. I wondered why the doctors would come in and never talk to me. And my family would sit over and pray, look over me and just cry. I couldn't respond. I couldn't let them know that I was in there fighting like, you know what?
Yeah.
And, you know, and so the power of the mind at an early, early age, I learned the power of our mind. And I would have never had that gift had I not gone through this. So to lay there and just take 8 hours to get my brain to make my hand to move, to squeeze it, to say, I love you. That was our cue when we were dating and first married, squeeze our hand 3 times. And so Tracy knew that I was in there. I wanted to let them know. So you guys going through that journey, and it's not like TV where you wake up and go, oh, hey, guys, I'm in my coma. You know, Jeannie.
Yeah.
It was like a long, long journey of the first time they, you know, lifted me out of the bed and put me in a wheelchair and took me down to a mat and just taught me how to roll. But my husband said that's when he realized this is going to be a long journey. Then going to rehab and just learning how to crawl, you know, taking 2 years to just learn how to live. And the hardest thing I had to learn was how to swallow. It's like you're born, you swallow, and that you don't have to learn that.
It's a natural.
So, oh, man, I had a brainstem injury. So my natural functions didn't work. They had to be retrained. And so I look at it now, what a gift I was given at that young of an age to learn what we take for granted and to learn the power of my mind, that there are no limits. The limits we have are what we put in our head. There are no limits to what you can accomplish.
Let me ask you this. Yes. How did you get to the point of, okay, so you're going through rehabilitation and you're learning how to be a person again, because that's basically what it feels like. How did you get to that, from that point into this new realm of power of purpose and involved in the whole disabilities trail? Did you just realize because you needed so much individual care yourself that you realized the care wasn't out there and therefore you started to run down that trail?
No, you know, for me, it was my incredible mentor that every day when I was in ICU, when I moved to ortho, he sat by me every day in the hospital. And one day he said, look, girl, I know you know I'm here. And I'm thinking, yeah. And he said, and I know you're angry at God and the world and what. And he said, and I thought, boy, am I. Mm-hmm. And he said, but you know, medically, they can't explain why you're alive. And so instead of ask why me, and I definitely was having my own pity parties and sniveling inside, he said, it's time to ask what. What's my purpose? Think about the power of that. Turning from why me, and we hear it all over the country and the world. Mm-hmm. People have lost a lot of things. They lost their real estate. They lost their retirement. The why, and turn that into now, what? What's my purpose? And that really was a defining moment for me.
Sure.
Looking, again, just changing your mindset. Your thoughts are so powerful. And going into that what? So, for me, even being in rehab in Phoenix when I was relearning how to walk with other 20 other people that were in rehab and go into each one of their rooms and just don't, I couldn't talk yet and I couldn't really walk very well, but I was able to go in and just hold their hands and share, and we built a bond, and I knew that I had a purpose. I had gone through this for a reason. So instead of being angry and simple and pity party, I turned it into joy and abundance and making a difference. And that, I came back home to where I lived in New Mexico and started doing hospital visitation because I knew that I had a different knowledge, a different experience that could help folks that were laid in comas, to go up to families who were so lost and to say, look, I've been there and I can stay with you, and to see the kind of impact it made in their lives. And so the doctors, the neurosurgeons would take me in to go sit with someone that was in the coma and hold their hand and share with them that I laid there too. And there's so much hope, and they start getting results. And then they start inviting us to neuro rounds, the big fancy weekly meetings that all the therapists and nurses and everyone came into. And we became part of it. And then the hospital said, well, let's set you up a nonprofit. I could barely walk or talk, but I was living my purpose. And I said, great. And they set us up a nonprofit, and I had an office. We had employees. We all had salaries. We had travel budget. Tony, like we were talking earlier, where we were able to go meet with others that we were finding out that we were in back bedrooms because they hadn't saved a lot of us yet. We were called the silent epidemic. And so then we said, okay, let's set up a state head injury foundation. So we set up New Mexico Head Injury Foundation. Now, remember, those of you guys listening, I could barely walk or talk. So yeah. When you think, oh, this is too much, I can't do it, Janie, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, wow. And so the state, and then we found that a few other states were gathering together. So we flew to Boston, and there were about 40 of us in a little group, and we set up a National Head Injury Association. Because, again, we knew there were no limits. We'd learned the power of our mind. And we knew that with people around us, and I was elected president, and the next thing I know, I'm calling my husband that is still treated like a kid. You know, he's protective. He's scared to let go. And I'm saying, I got elected president, and we're moving to Washington, D.C., and we're going to set up an office, and we're going to make us visible. And he thought, oh, my gosh. So, again, he remembers that prayer as he laid with me on the ground at the accident when he said, leave her with us, bring her back, and we'll do everything we're destined to do. And so next thing I know, I'm in Washington, D.C. I'm sitting in an office full of boxes. I can't talk very legibly yet, but I know I have purpose. And people are saying, now you've got to work with Congress. You've got to make us visible. And I'm thinking, I can't even say Congress or legislature. And they start saying, you need to call Jim Brady. Get you some mentors. Get people that have been here. You guys remember Jim Brady? Those younger, he was a press secretary for President Reagan that took a bullet in his head for our president.
Right, right.
Remember that? And so here Jim Brady is sitting in the back bedroom because once they started saving us, they really didn't know what to do. Either it was a nursing home, an institution, or you sat in the back bedroom somewhere because nobody knew what to do with us. So I called Jim in. I said, Jim, you know, can you meet me? So he rolls in his wheelchair, never met him. And I sit there to start telling him what we're going to need to do. And I don't know anything, any of this. And I said, do you think you can help me? And you guys, what a fantastic fun time. He leaned back in his wheelchair and he looked at me and hadn't said anything, probably because like right now, I'm so full of energy. I didn't give him a chance. And I said, can you help me? And he said, honey, if I could sell President Reagan to the American public for 8 years, I think I can help you.
There you go.
Is that awesome?
That is awesome.
I never thought about like that. The press secretary, he's selling the president, you know?
Sure.
That's what he does. That's what, yeah. I mean, he's his PR person, so makes total sense. You know, I think your journey is so incredible because you took what some people might have looked at as a tragedy and you turned it into a positive, not only for yourself, but for others, because now you could say, I've been there, I know what it's about, and I know what it's like. And I think that's where the authenticity comes from, is your passion that you've actually experienced it and you didn't read about it in a book and you didn't watch it on a movie. You're like, I've been there, I was in that bed. And now I want to help others have that same courage that you had, help them get through it. You know, you're a perfect example for people to actually see that they can make it through to the other side and not only prosper, but prosper for themselves and help others to prosper also.
It's so important when we mentor students, and we have a powerful mentoring team. We have a gentleman that has built affordable housing subdivisions through his nonprofit. He's now our director of mentoring. We have a wonderful board of directors that also lead nonprofits. So what we teach from that, what you just said, Tony, is the people you're serving have in the forefront. You know, have them on your board of directors. Have them leading the vision. It's not about doing it for them without them. We have a saying in the disability movement, nothing about us without us. And so as I led this National Organization on Disability, and Jim Brady mentored me on how to work with Congress, how to work behind the scenes, how to get, you know, behind in the seat of power, get with people. And our first bill in Congress with a group that really had no voice, no political power, no money, but we had purpose. We had turned that tragedy into triumph. We knew we had something to bring to people, that inner strength that we reached for, that people were just reading about or writing about. And we got $20 million. It's like 25 years ago. And we set up 4 regional brain injury centers. And then we went one step further. We said, because we were just, everything was created for us without us, and it made no sense economically. It made no sense to taxpayers. Our systems are broken. To be able to spend $100,000 to lay in a nursing home in a bed of, you know what, it smells like, you know what.
Right.
And you're 20-some years old, and people are sent there to die, so we're going to spend the next 50 or 60 years at $100,000 a year. Our system, we're entitled. We have institutional bias. We're entitled to that pay, but to go live at home and have an attendant come in a couple hours a day to help you get back into life, there's nothing out there. So that does not make sense economically. So we, at this national organization, we said in this bill, people with disabilities must be on the board, whether it's Mayo, whether it's New York University, whether it's whatever hospital, whatever entity came in with the brain injury centers, we had to be a part of driving, of coming up with solutions, creating programs. And that's what led us to that one nonprofit that we built after that, where a lot of young guys paralyzed from the neck down, my mentors. I'm so, so grateful and blessed that my whole life was surrounded with mentors that anybody else would have think, oh, what, how tragic. And my mentor that paralyzed from the neck down at the age of 18 was in a car accident and laid in a nursing home for years with nothing. And we were able to work together and, you know, start developing resources and wheelchairs and bring these groups together and say, you know what, we're going to do more than life. So we set up one nonprofit that said 51% of our board must be people with disabilities. Our staff must be people with disabilities, so that we're leading the change. We're sitting with legislators. We're sitting with Medicaid directors. You know, we all talk about the shift and becoming more socially conscious. There's another step past that, that the nonprofit is conscious. The nonprofit corporations are the one thing that can change all of our broken systems. When we look at the VA, when we look at HUD, when we look all these systems that don't make sense, that we're spending 5 and 10 times more money and people are less empowered.
Right.
It takes the nonprofit leaders to go sit down with legislators to come up with policy changes. And that's what we did, that one nonprofit. And then we did one in Boston, and then we did one in New York. And then we started getting folks out of nursing homes, coming together, creating employment. But then we said that we can't be equal participants in this country, not special, equal. And we're not handicapped. Society handicaps us. There were no ramps. There were no curb cuts. We couldn't even get into any of the buildings because there were no curb cuts. And so our Martin Luther King of our movement had post polio, lived in the iron lung, and I mean, before technology, he literally laid in the bed with an iron lung over him. And he wanted to go back to school in California. And the school, with our vocational rehab, that's our system for us, right? Billions of dollars to help people with disabilities. It said he was too severely disabled to be employed.
Wow.
We all, guys, what a mentor. We all said, look, we need to create civil rights legislation for us. We didn't know what was named. We just started all coming together and talking about we need to be systemically wider doorways. Let's make them all 36 inches. Let's make the stoplights so they blink. So if you're blind, you hear that noise. Let's put, you know, we really all came together, those that were deaf, those that were blind, those in wheelchairs, those with brain injuries. And we created legislation that turned into the Americans with Disabilities Act. You guys, to be a part of that, leading that, to be a part of taking five van loads of people in nursing homes that were 18, 24, and taking them to Washington, D.C. to go march down the streets with signs in real homes, not nursing homes, to give them control of their lives where they were starting to see where they could make an impact on change. And
amazing.
To then work with our leaders, and economically, it makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, you guys, ADA, and the reason I get more fired up right now is on July 26th of this year, 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Wow.
Wow.
And so... isn't that awesome?
That is so awesome.
That's very awesome.
Congratulations.
Since you were such a strong part of that. And I think that's amazing, because these are things that had been going on for years and years and years, and no one had ever taken a real hard look at it. And then you came along and gathered people together. And to make that happen is just an incredible story.
And I want to say, too, that, and I want to say this to our listeners, it's one person who took a step to make a massive change. We continually talk about on this show how you can do this as one person. You can make any change that you want to make. You don't need a big posse in order to create the beginning functions of a change.
Right.
And you did this single-handedly with the disabilities that you were going through as well. You got into this, you know, massive change that has changed lives for Americans as a result. So I totally encourage... strongly encourage, if you are a person out there that has a thought about a change that you can make, but you're afraid to take it on by yourself, take it on, because others will join with you and support you and walk next to you with signs, wheel next to you, whatever the situation is.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to take it on, because the power of one is tremendous.
Oh, I love that. And we talked about that earlier. You guys, what we teach with our mentoring students and our mentoring team, when you take the lead, you're excited, it's contagious.
Right.
And people gravitate toward you. You know, we live in such a beautiful country in the world, and people want to make a difference. People want to help. They don't know how. And so those of you that are listening, that one person that will stand up and say, I'm going to do it, you're going to be flooded with support. People gravitate to you because they want to do it. Now you're taking the lead, and so they're going to step up and be right there.
Yeah, it's taking the fear out of doing it, you know, all on your own. Because all you have to do is inspire one person, and that one person now makes you a party of two. And inspire one more, and now you're a party of three. And before you know it, you're a party of thousands, all helping the same cause.
Real quick, let's talk about, because we're running out of time, but I want to make sure that people know where they can find you. What is your website? Because I've gone to the website, and I notice you have a ton of information there. If it's different blogs, asking, you know, how to, or explaining how to set up a nonprofit, questions, Elf, about a nonprofit. So what is the website?
A great place to go, you guys, to really immerse in some knowledge. We have a free web class. So go to nonprofitwebclass.com And that's a great place to start. And then, Tony, I know we talked to so many of the listeners you guys have nonprofits. We're also, part of our mission is to empower existing nonprofits. We have many funding strategies, charitable giving of real estate. We're just, that's impacting wealthy donors. It's a win-win-win. So come and be a part of this. See the kind of charitable real estate donation. If you think about it, you guys, $450 billion was donated last year, and less than 2% of that was through real estate. And yet the majority of our country wealth is held in real estate. So we have the leading expert in the country on our team. He has been in Forbes and Fortune. And so that is a great funding strategy for those of you that already have nonprofits. Go to thepowerofpurpose.com, Tony, and that's what you're saying, the blogs and a lot of information where we can help you grow your funding streams. Just going from that fundraiser, just did a crowdfunding site and raised 70-some thousand on a crowdfunding site for a group. We've got government grants, foundations, we've got fees for service. Tony, I was telling you about my last nonprofit, how that I actually literally changed a paradigm, changed a broken system where people only could live in nursing homes, worked with the governor and said, this makes no sense economically. Let's allow them to live at home, almost like a voucher, redirect that money. Mm-hmm. And we did that with 200 people, my little nonprofit that I didn't even have started. Like you said, Jenny, the power of one, just step forward and said, let's do it. And our governor was a business leader, Governor Gary Johnson. And so he understood the economics. Not, we used to go in quality of life and like that pat on the head. But when you go in where their head is, looking at budgets and deficits. And so we got 200 people out of nursing homes. I said, we'll be the fiscal agent because they're not going to know how to process their own payroll.
Right.
And let them hire and fire who they want. Not a home health care where you bring in a bunch of different people. It's very personal. Let them hire people. And we charge $200 per person, right, because we're a business. We're a corporation. And I was making $50,000 a month, passive income. We got 200 people at a nursing home. They hired attendants. We created 400 jobs in a little tiny room in Mexico that never has happened. Mm-hmm. And our state was announced the first state in the nation that had a positive Medicaid budget because of this little tiny program. One or two people came forward and said, let's make sense of our tax dollars and what we're doing in our system. So you guys, you that have nonprofits, we'd love to be able to help you grow your revenue so you can help even more, you can serve even more, you can impact even more. And let's get connected with our leaders in this country and learn how to get at the policymaking table. That's where change happens.
That is
well
excellent.
Said.
Very well said.
Very well said. Yeah,
I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be part of our show and educating our listeners and allowing them a place where they can go and learn so much information, because it's a big world out there and a lot of people have big hearts, but they just don't understand the business aspect of it. And having a place where they can go and learn all this information is just phenomenal. I've learned so much just by listening to you, but also having gone to your website. So I encourage everyone, if there is a passion that you have, you can quit your 9-to-5 job, as it says on your website, and you can follow your passion and help others while helping yourself.
Yeah. And I just really am grateful for what you do. And so both of you are bringing so much to the world and allowing me to come and be part of it.
Well, thank you very much, Sherry. So every week we like to dedicate a song to our guests. And this week, the song I chose is I Ain't Giving Up. Sherry's been able to do this for the past 35 years, and she is an inspiration to us all to never give up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I'm giving up. You're too much pride. this life and give another. No, you're negative vibes. Seems gonna fall, but look it back up and hit more holes. Meet me at the top of me, crawl, crossing the finish line. It's time to believe, it's time to achieve, yeah, for me. Fire inside, I'm ready to die on the dream. So believe me, I'm giving up. I'm giving up, too much drive, I'm giving up, you feel you to try, I'm giving up, trying to justify, you seem too young, when I've just begun, you're too old, I love rock that boat, you don't know, I'm here to figure it out, hold on the line, fight on the side, till I breathe, I doubt what I try, the bow on the side, kill the dream.
Once again, that was I Ain't Giving Up by Saint Tone. You could find more positive music at www.sainttone.com.
You know, if you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story, or if you know someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio, or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.